Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I believe we now know that May 6th is the Purdy tournament.
That's what I've been told, yeah.
Looking forward to it. Can't wait. It is a circle moment on the calendar. At least in my opinion, it is. But that's an event that you and I love. It's great to be a part of it. See everybody. Just terrific. We just thoroughly and completely enjoy that day. And couple of other notes. Of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And tonight's the national championship game in college football. Meanwhile, chalk almost held until the Broncos beat the Patriots. Broncos lost to the Colts yesterday. So now it's going to be the Colts against the Patriots. Now, I phrase that deliberately. It's not actually luck against Brady. I don't recall Brady ever defending another quarterback.
Not yet. Well, yeah, I guess he wouldn't defend another quarterback unless they would put Brady back at safety and he'd intercept the ball. Yeah, it's probably not going to happen.
No. And then the line of the weekend was actually not done by a sportscaster.
Okay.
Charles Krauthammer.
Oh.
Fox News. At the end of a show, they have to do winners and losers for the week. So, you know, the winners were this, that, and, of course, with the Paris situation, there's a lot dealing with that and so forth. He says, loser, Boston. He says, got the Olympic bid. Winner, Washington, didn't. He says, who needs the hassle? Who needs the traffic?
Sorry for him and his non-American pessimistic view.
Oh, sorry, but you can't go on that one. Charles Krauthammer is about as American gets.
Not anymore.
I laughed. Look, they should build one winter site, one summer site, and stop asking everybody else to foot the bill. What are you going to do with a velodrome in Boston? I mean, give the Kennedys the place to go? What?
Actually, you know what? I thought Joe Buck had a good line. Remember I told you about this? They were leading into him, into the broadcast, and was talking about his dad calling the ice bowl. And he says, glad you said son of Jack and not something else. And then followed up with, I'm not going to say what was in his coffee mug, but it wasn't half and half.
It went to the ice bowl game.
Yeah.
It had to be in the pregame show
because
nobody watches those anymore.
No, it was. It was right at the beginning of the pregame because I wanted to see what they were going to do with it. I turned it off at that point, but I thought that was really funny. I like that.
Well, tonight's the national championship game, and later we're going to talk wrestling with Jeff Byers. One note on Penn State basketball, John Johnson has been suspended by Patrick Chambers. And announced the suspension earlier today. He will not play against Indiana tomorrow night and also does not specify how long the suspension is going to be. And it was a carefully worded statement about the suspension. I just can tell you that when I walk on the plane here in about 3 hours, you won't be there. That means a little more Peyton Banks. That means a little more Devin Foster. You got to move on from there. And the exact verbiage of the statement is as follows. I'll give that to you here in a second. And then we'll talk about Penn State football for a moment. Three more days before anybody can declare for the draft. So far, 65 players, including three Nittany Lions, have declared for the draft early. Last year, the number was 123. The one that always makes me laugh, as always, is the NBA one. 120 guys declared for the draft. Okay, hold on. There are 60 spots.
I was going to say, the mathematically, that's not a bright move, is it?
No. Let's see. John Johnson's been suspended from the Penn State men's basketball team because of conduct inconsistent with team standards and values. Patrick Chambers made the announcement today. Johnson will not participate in team activities during the suspension. Does not say for how long. Also, one of our favorite people, Jason Dombach. And Jason called me about this on Saturday night. We talked about this. He's going to still be involved with the Spikes, but he's moving to Frisco, Texas, because he's going to be the executive vice president and general manager of the Frisco Rough Riders of the AA Texas Rangers. He is still going to be involved as senior vice president and overlooked the Spikes, but Srizola has been promoted to assistant general manager for the Spikes. So that's been done today as well. And he called me on Saturday night, talked to me about all this. Awesome guy. We've had him on the show how many times? Minor league baseball has turned into a marvelous business in this state. Erie, Williamsport, State College, Reading, Harrisburg, Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, Lehigh Valley. Minor league baseball has been awesome. Altoona, minor league baseball has been awesome in the state. And it's great the way towns have rallied around it. Guys like Jason Dombach have been critical to doing that. So that was also announced today. So John Johnson suspended. Penn State basketball. Also for Penn State football, again, three more days before you can declare for the NFL draft. No news on that front. It's still just the three guys, Jesse James, Deion Barnes, and Donovan Smith. Three guys have reported early and started class today. Sterling Jenkins, Paris Palmer, and Tommy Stevens have all enrolled and started class today. They were here as of Saturday, as a matter of fact, they were here. So just getting everybody up to date on all the news of the day. Wrestling did lose to Ohio State. That was no surprise. I think that was expected. 22-15, I believe, was the final. We'll talk to Jeff Byers at 4:06 today about that. When you look at Ohio State, Oregon coming up tonight, first of all, well, we'll get to that in a second. The NFL playoffs, Peyton Manning, I do not believe he's done. And when the guy has an injury to the thigh, he has a torn muscle in there, from all indications, that he tore a muscle. In fact, he may have an injury in each one. You just can see he just can't throw the football. With time, I think he'll feel better about how he feels, and then they'll move from there. The Patriots, I laughed about the Ravens. John Harbaugh, whom I have tremendous respect for, I think he's an excellent coach. I think he's an excellent ambassador for the game. But they got caught. Simple as that. I mean, how much football have we watched this year? I mean, how many times did Penn State do that in a game this year? Don't you recall Andrew Nelson out there faking as if he was going to catch the ball? Did that in Ireland. Penn State's run the play. BC went on balanced line. They've run it. How did Oregon get their two-point conversion to start the game after their opening touchdown against Florida State to make it an 8-3 game? Everybody's doing it. The problem is the Ravens got caught and didn't defend it. The Ravens' big problem in that game, you must jam receivers in today's game. You cannot allow free release. And the entire night, the Ravens repeatedly gave Gronkowski and the other tight end free releases off the line of scrimmage. He can't do that. Today's game, you must, in that five-yard area, bump them off their route, delay them. And the Patriots repeatedly got free release off the line of scrimmage because the Ravens didn't do that. That was a big fault of theirs in the game. And as for the trick plays that caught them in terms of eligible, ineligible guys, other teams have done that this year. We've watched it. I just gave you, I mean, Penn State did it, for goodness sakes.
I think the confusion, though, to most fans, including me, was they declared themselves ineligible receivers.
Yeah, and?
I think we were all kind of dumbfounded because I've never heard anybody do that before.
Because they tell you who's eligible and who's not. They'll tell you X is eligible, X is not. And he said that. He just gives numbers out. 34 is ineligible. I can't remember who the eligible receiver was.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It was just strange. I mean, this was my feeling. I'd never heard that done before. So no, doing it in that particular way, I was like, wow.
I hear it all the time. 34 is not eligible. You know what that means? You don't cover him.
You don't have to cover him. No, I understand. But I've always heard, 44 is an eligible receiver.
Right.
I've never heard players declaring themselves as ineligible receivers. That's
somebody interesting. Somebody has to be. And the reason that they have to announce that he is ineligible is he's wearing an eligible number.
Right.
That's why he has to be declared. When you hear, for example, say J.J. Watt comes in the game, and then how many times did the Texans do that this year? They threw three touchdown passes to him this year. And remember Mike Vrabel, when he played for the Patriots, they ran plays for him. The reason that they are declared as eligible and they don't declare ineligible is that they're taking out an eligible number and replacing him with an eligible number. That's why you announce it. The reason you had to declare this was because an eligible number was in the game but was going to be ineligible on the play. The coach tells the officials before the game that play is in the playbook. The officials know. And then they come out and they tell them, here it is. And that way the official is not surprised by it at all. Coaches, that's one of the things they'll do before the games. They will tell the officials, look, there's going to be a play where Vereen, that we have in the package, where Vereen's going to be ineligible. He will tell you, don't be surprised by it.
Does Harbaugh have a leg to stand on when he says that the officials were totally confused by the receiver ineligible information and didn't inform the Ravens in time that the player was ineligible because he was running a no-huddle offense?
No.
Just wanted your take on that.
Do you want to know why the play didn't work? Why the Ravens didn't defend it well? Has nothing to do with whether Vereen was eligible enough. Gronk got a free release off the line of scrimmage. My goodness. That's why it worked. Not because Vereen was ineligible. Okay? I realize that's a point to talk about. But why is Gronk running off the line of scrimmage untouched?
With no goes in to your neighborhood, who are you going to call?
Snowbusters!
And we've got the Snowbusters right here at Sunbury Motors Kia.
I want to see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
Make tracks in an all-wheel drive 2015 Sportage LX starting at $22,389. And we have a great inventory to choose from. Or how about our blizzard-busting 2015 all-wheel drive Sereno starting at $24,983 with 0% APR financing for up to 60 months. And we've got 27 to choose from. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty.
Come see the Snowbusters
at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf
or at sunburymotors.com.
SMC. Selling more cars, satisfying more customers for 100 years.
Tax and tags extra. All applicable Kia customer rebates applied. CAMF bonus cash and financing to well-qualified customers. Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
The tip of the cap to Charles Krauthammer, who gets sports.
Anti-American.
Don't think so.
That's just two men's opinion.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. May 6th, by the way, we can start promoting the tournament. We love it. It's always the start of the golf year as far as I'm concerned, although this year, it's usually the first thing I play in, but not this time. I'm planning on playing even more this year. I sent you a golf package.
You did. I have not taken out of it. Well, I haven't taken out of the package yet because I don't want to dirty it or anything. And I can't.
I understand.
And I can't play any of the golf balls unless there's no out of bounds woods or water.
You've basically now eliminated every course in the world.
I don't want to lose it.
Except for maybe one in Dubai.
I figure if I play, anytime I play a links course like in Myrtle Beach, I'm good to go there. Of course, there you can actually lose it in the rough.
You can. I love links golf. Love it. I played at Cape Cod. Love links golf.
That was the first time I'd ever played it. Was down at Myrtle Beach. It was John Daly's course, Wicked Stick.
There you go.
They have
you want his PGA a crooked stick. So
well, that yeah, and they have the reds, the whites, the blue, and the Daly tees, and the Daly tees are another 30 yards back from the tournament tees.
Well, we're going to get to wrestling in a moment here with Jeff Byers, but one night, in fact, I know what night it was. It was the night of the homecoming parade at Penn State. I thought a perfect time after the show was Friday night, and it was late September. So the sun's up longer. Show is over with. It's Friday night. I'm all ready for the game the next day. There's nothing, believe me, Friday night, I have nothing to do. You still have a lot to do on Friday because you have the Shikalimi football game.
It's a busy night, yeah.
Right, very busy. So I decided I'm going to go out and play. See, how many holes can I get in here? So I go out, relaxing. I'm just out there playing around myself. And all of a sudden, I get behind three guys. I'm like, oh, boy. Well, the first thing I realize as I get behind these three guys, like, geez, it's just me. I wonder if I should play through. As I start realizing they're playing from the black tees. Well, the black tees are the championship tees on the blue course. I thought, don't be an idiot. Don't play through.
That's a smart move.
Obviously, these are three dudes who can play. You don't play in the black tees as a recreational moment.
The Daly tees at Wicked Stick, I think, are gold, and they are literally 30 yards behind the tournament tee. Oh. And I mean, that makes a par 5 like 620. I mean, it was just an astronomical. I looked at it and I went, yeah, I'd like to play from the reds if possible on this hole.
Yeah, I just sat back and thought to myself, you know, be patient. And I drove one off the tee, which went near the 7th tee, which is actually back in the woods. And they go, hey, nice drive. Your ball's down here. I thought, I'm glad the three professionals liked it. All right. Let's bring in Jeff Byers now. Talk a little Penn State wrestling, and Happy New Year to you, Jeff Byers. Okay.
I think I lost Jeff.
Evidently you did. Tell me if you have him back.
I will let you know as soon as I get him back.
Good. You work on that. The pause was a bit too dramatic for the audience. Like, yes, yes.
I like to build the anticipation.
Yes, yes, you do. You're like Heinz ketchup. I'll bet if it was an Olympian, you'd be like, I've got them in the line now.
No, I would actually been so excited. I probably would ask 7 questions and then accidentally hit the hang up button.
Where are you staying? In the village? Yes.
No. I said I would have hit the hang-up button. They would not have hit the hang-up button. Where are you staying? Click. Hello? Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Is
there
anybody there?
Well, as we get Jeff here, we will.
I think I got it. I think I got it right now. Hang on just a minute. Well. Hang on. Just give me about 10 seconds here.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I gave him 10 seconds.
Yes, you did.
Was that enough?
No, it doesn't appear to be enough. Sadly, it does not appear to be enough. Huh.
Well. And once again, we circle a fogged in airport. This is a guy, career. This is a guy that if the Olympics go to Boston, security's going to let in.
Story of my career, circling in a fogged in airport.
Wow. All right. We'll talk to Jeff in a few moments about that. Then the next hour, we'll have Dave Paulson on talking about Bucknell basketball. Looking forward to that. Tonight it'll be Ohio State and Oregon. A couple things tonight. One of the keys to this game to me tonight is the ability of Ohio State to play with the lead. If Oregon plays with the lead, they have been the best front-running program in America in their ability to play with the lead. One thing that people don't talk about is that when Oregon has to play from behind, they don't play well from behind. And here's a reason why. It's not as much the offense. In order to play from behind, you then have to start getting stops defensively. And Oregon, when they've been forced to get stops over the years of their defense, where the defense absolutely has had to get some stops, they can't. And that's a big part of it. Oregon has been really, really good this year defensively with their team speed, which I think is very good. They play a cover two concept. And they keep the ball in front of them. They're very good at getting takeaways. All right. Let's bring in Jeff Byers now. Jeff, Happy New Year to you. Great to have you with us.
Happy New Year. Thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Yesterday, really not a surprise in the loss to Ohio State. Anything that you saw did surprise you individually?
Yeah, a couple of things. We obviously knew Kyle Snyder is an outstanding talent and was going to be a problem for Morgan. But I was surprised at just how seemingly easily Snyder was able to control Morgan throughout the match. And, Morgan has struggled against some of these better kids from getting out from underneath. On the positive side, a couple of these young kids are really coming along. I know Cade Moss got pinned, and ultimately you're obviously never going to say it was a successful match when you get pinned. But he had a moment there where he almost did get under the arms and threw Stieber, and I thought he battled Stieber tough, but he stayed in good position on his feet. I mean, Stieber really had to work to get the takedown. Now, Stieber, again, is Logan Stieber, and not unlike David Taylor and Ed Ruth, is able to figure things out. But I really think, a couple of these younger kids are really starting to come into their own here for Penn State, and even in a couple of losses, I thought, I think there's reason to be optimistic about what these kids may be able to do by the time the postseason rolls around.
Jeff, is there a level of consistency in a couple of guys right now where you go in, match in and match out, and feel like you know what you're going to get from them?
Yeah, I mean, I think Matt Brown clearly is a guy that is just steady. There's been, you know, some results that he's not happy with, but I think the effort and the performance is pretty consistent. It's going to take one of those top guys to beat him, and it's going to take one of those top guys getting Matt into a scramble situation, which is still not his strength, in order to come out with the win. But Matt has really, you know, when he has a lesser opponent, he is dominating this year. I mean, he is not satisfied with a decision or even a major decision, and I think that's been good to see. You know, and Jimmy Golobon, with the exception maybe of one match of the Southern Scuffle, I just think has been really consistent with the effort and the performance he's given this year. He's just a kid that it really is just amazing to me, the transformation in Jimmy from a year ago to now, both in terms of his personality off the mat, in terms of what he's able to do on the mat itself, top and bottom position, but also, you know, he just has a different demeanor about him. Last year, I mean, you could see it. He would literally drop his head when he gave up an early takedown. And this year, it is not fazing him at all. And we saw again Sunday. He came back from giving up an initial takedown and really took control about in the third period against a, you know, a kid that was ranked fourth in the country. So I think those guys right now are very steady. And I'll tell you, it's a little surprisingly, Steve, but I think Dylan Olm is starting to become a steady performer here for this team. I mean, he has really risen to the occasion in a couple of key bouts at the Southern Scuffle and certainly in a key spot for this team. I mean, in order to stay in that thing, they absolutely had to have him get the win on Sunday, and he was just determined to get the takedown in the overtime period.
Now let's flip to the other side. Who is maddening? Where it's maddening to sit there and say, boy, I don't know what I'm going to get on a night-in and night-out basis from a guy or two, where they can be spectacular one moment, and the next moment you're like, what?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously Morgan McIntosh, and again, no question, Snyder is an outstanding talent, so I don't want to make it sound like, you know, Morgan just completely went out to lunch here on Sunday, but he just... it just was not the performance that I think the Penn State coaching staff was expecting from Morgan. And, you know, truthfully, he's had some matches this year, even some of the wins that he's had, where he just has not gone out and wrestled with the aggressive style that he's capable of, because he does have a tremendous offensive arsenal. I mean, he can hit you with a lot of different takedowns, a lot of different turn attempts, and there were some matches where he just seemingly shuts it down. Now, again, on Sunday, I give Snyder a lot of credit for kind of preventing Morgan from getting his offense going. But, you know, Morgan's a redshirt junior now, and he's got to be able to figure some of those things out, especially against the freshman, no matter how talented that freshman may be. If Penn State is to have the type of success that it's become accustomed to here in the postseason. And the other one that's a little puzzling to me right now, Steve, is Jordan Conaway, because Jordan is a kid that does – I mean, absolutely everything that the coaches ask of him. And, you know, I'm wondering a little bit if maybe he's not overtraining or something, because, I mean, again, the kid gives you maximum effort. He has a really good understanding of the sport. You know, his dad was a high school coach and coached him through high school, and he just does not look the same this year as what we've seen the last couple of seasons. And you know, he's cutting down to 125, and it is a little bit of a cut this year for him. And I don't know if that's the factor. I don't know if it's that he's overtraining. I don't know if he's putting too much pressure on himself. But the effort is there. I mean, the effort is consistent, but the performance has been very inconsistent for Jordan this year. And that's probably the biggest surprise on the entire team, because, again, that kid is just so steady with what he gives you in terms of his attitude and his effort every day. And for whatever reason, it is not coming together.
On Zane Rutherford and Nico Megalutis and how things are progressing for them, as because they're out of the spotlight for the moment?
Yeah, Nico took an extended Christmas break back home and thoroughly enjoyed himself. We were talking a little bit in the room the other day, and he said it was just nice. He you know, was still training at home a little bit, but, I mean, it was a break from competitive wrestling completely. And I think it's something that he needed. I think maybe psychologically as much as anything, but his body certainly has taken a beating in the sport over the years. And so I think this redshirt year is a good one for him, just to kind of refresh himself mentally and physically, just get his body rested and healed up. And when he was in the room the other day, and he still looks like Nico Megalutis. I mean, he's just freakishly good in those scramble situations, and obviously he's continuing to get a little stronger and working on some things technically, especially his setups and being able to finish the takedowns. And, you know, Zane Rutherford, Steve, I think is just a guy that I kind of think, I know there's some fans wondering why he's not competing in these open tournaments, and I really think it's a situation where they just feel like the best work he can get right now is in that room with the kids he's facing. Truthfully, some of my favorite matches that I've watched this year are in the room with Rutherford. Mm-hmm. And some of these freshmen. Zane is just a really uniquely determined kid, and just has a very good understanding of what he needs to do and where he is. And, you know, he's one of those few kids that I don't know that he would really benefit from getting more outside competition this season in terms of outside of the room. I think the variety of kids that he sees in the room, and you know, he and Jason Nolf, truthfully, probably my two favorite bouts that I've seen all season have been in the room between Nolf and Rutherford, because those two just get after it, and they're both just so good in all three positions. But Zane is getting better, getting stronger. It'll be interesting to see. He may end up kind of growing himself into 149 next year. I'm not sure that he's going the way he is, but the short year is going to be very beneficial for different reasons for both of them.
You mentioned earlier that a couple things are coming together for Alton. What are some of those things that are coming together for Alton? Has he become a better defensive wrestler, better counter wrestler than he's been?
Yeah, I think for one thing, I think there's kind of a renewed hunger for him, and I think some people, and I think Dylan himself maybe was questioning a little bit at the end of last year, just how much desire there was. But I think after he had the shoulder surgery and took around and looked and realized, man, I have one more chance here to try to realize my college dreams. And I think he has committed himself to doing everything he can. And it's been a slow process, and I think he's probably been a little frustrated at how long the rehab process has taken. But he's a guy that right now just seems to be able to rise to the occasion. I mean, his conditioning is not where it needs to be, and he'll be the first to tell you that, and he's working on it. But, you know, down at the scuffle, he got the pin against Robuto, who is, certainly an All-American. He was an All-American last year. I mean, he's certainly going to be an All-American, you would think, this year, and maybe a national title contender. And Josh Demas is kind of on that same area for Ohio State, maybe borderline national title contender, but certainly a strong All-American candidate. And, you know, again, Dylan is just able to kind of dig deep, make sure he keeps himself in position. He's wrestling a little different now, not, I think, as aggressively as he would like, but I think he's kind of understanding where he's at right now, what he needs to do to get the wins, and it's kind of a season now with his body being where it's at, and he's just kind of figured out how to grind things out here, and that's really what he's been doing here in these first few weeks anyway, is just grinding out the wins. And he has, again, a couple of really significant wins that I think is going to set him up pretty well if he can finish strongly here. It's going to set him up well for a good seed here in the postseason tournament. And for Dylan, you know, it's going to come down a lot to matchups when we get to the postseason as to just how far he can go and what he can do here.
Talk a little bit about Jimmy Lawson.
Jimmy is a guy that is just determined. And both he and John Gingrich are similar right now in that I think they are wrestling, when healthy, the best of their career. Now, Jimmy's coming off a little bit of a foot injury, and I don't think was as sharp as we've seen him or as he'll be later in the season. He's really focused right now on doing what he needs to do to become a national champion. He has really added to his offensive arsenal. He's become very effective on top and has really developed a couple of very good turns now. to score points from that top position. And, you know, he continues to work on bottom. I think if there's still a weakness with him, it's against the really good kids on top, his ability to get out. But he's certainly making huge strides, or has made huge strides in the last year in that area as well. So, you know, I think Jimmy is a guy that that really, I think, Steve, if he puts it all together in the postseason and is healthy, this is a guy that I legitimately think can win it all. I mean, I don't think there's a heavyweight out there that Jimmy Lawson, when healthy right now, couldn't at least compete against right to the wire.
And that is Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling. We thank Jeff for being with us. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And today's show is brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Marcus Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors K, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin's driving a Flex this week.
The 2014 Ford Flex is what we'll be featuring this week, with the 3.5-liter EcoBoost all-wheel drive. It was very handy this morning in some of the slush that that you had to drive around in. This particular one will feature six people that can sit in it very comfortably, and has a nice little storage armrest in the second row. Third row seats actually will flip backwards as well as stow away. But you can actually flip those backwards and sit out the back if you're going to go to a drive-in movie, or if you're going to be out at Beaver Stadium tailgating. You can sit in the comfort of your vehicle and literally sit on the tailgate of the Ford Flex. One of the many features we'll be talking about this week. Check it out at my Facebook page and follow me on Twitter at Kevin Herr to see more about the 2014 Ford Flex from Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury.
Tremendous. Love it.
Great highway vehicle, too. You'd think with a vehicle of that size, you'd have like kind of a rough ride. Man, is that smooth. Especially when you have the option that the... this particular model has of the adaptive cruise. You set that thing and you don't touch the gas or accelerator for miles.
Well, anything where you don't have to touch the gas, I'm for.
This vehicle is much smarter than me. I'm the first to admit it.
maybe 800 potential lines.
Just let them all go. Just let it go.
Hard to.
I know.
During the news break, I'll recite many of them to you.
Sure you will.
It'll keep you from telling me stories.
I'm out of stories. You know all my stories, and they weren't that good the first time. It's like my wife. She knows all my stories, too. She goes, you told me that years ago. I said, that's funny. I hear the same thing I hear from Steve.